Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is the Sound of Succession podcast with Jamie East and Chris Mandel. It's part of the Dragon Cast series where we talk about the best TV shows in the world. HBO, please don't sue us.
You know what to do, like and subscribe. Ah, fuck off.
Howdy doody, everybody. Happy Bank Holiday Monday, if you're listening to us in the UK. I'm Jamie East.
And I'm Chris Mandel.
And this is The Sound of Succession. How you been?
I'm good,
very early. We're recording
very early. Earlier than we normally do. Got me thinking, like, do you think rich people in the business world have bank holidays or not? I guess it would just be another day.
I mean,
at work.
I guess, strictly speaking, any day could be a bank holiday if you decide for it to be. I don't know.
The thought of having a day where you're like, oh, I don't have to do anything, like,
probably feels
like if you work like that, you just would not get the benefit of a bank holiday.
Well, we saw that Logan, you know, doesn't even take a day off for his son's wedding.
No.
Although, in hindsight, we should have done.
So, probably, we're getting into the mindset of a couple of young Turks trying to shake up the business. By coming in on a bank holiday to do our early
record.
This is
record. A couple of young... oh, my God. before we get into Succession, have you been? Well, we've not really caught up for a while. We've kind of like just been straight into Throne, straight into Succession. How have you been? How are you? How am I?
I am good. Yeah, I'm good. I don't know. Have I got any news?
What you've been watching? No. I was just kind of interested. Because I've been watching... I made a conscious effort the past kind of week or so. It's like, right, I need to start watching some other stuff because my life has just been dictated by Thrones and Succession now.
Definitely.
What feels like an eternity. So I was like, right, got to break the mold. I started watching Barry after your recommendation. Love it.
It's so good. I am so good. Pitching Barry to everyone I see at the moment because it has gone under most people's radars.
I think it's... bad market. It's been badly marketed.
Very much so.
It tells you nothing about the show, like from the poster or from the anything. And he's not a big, you know, he's a great actor.
Not a big name
over
here.
Not a huge draw. Not to go.
I think that was a conscious decision to not try and sell it to people over here because the cast, apart from Henry Winkler, the cast are not really well known. In the US, I think it is quite popular and recognizable because
of him.
It's got the coveted slot on HBO on Sunday nights, but also it's won quite a lot of awards.
Oh, okay.
So it is, it's
like Happy Valley.
Yeah. I just think it's so delightful and if people are looking for something to watch, I would recommend Barry because the thing I love, it's half an hour. And I cannot stress this enough. Like, I love Succession, I love Thrones, but you know, when you sit down, you're like, this is 106 minutes or whatever, or an hour and 10, and you're like, what the fuck? This is
I very much enjoyed yesterday. It was like, right, oh, great, we're in season 7 of our Game of Thrones rewatch. So I sat down, I was like, oh, fucking hell, that's 2 hours of my life I've got to watch. Like, we're doing two episodes.
I love that Barry is half an hour, it's quite rapid, but it's as dense as a Breaking Bad. There's so much going on, and I think it's remarkable. Yeah, so you're into right. that.
Totally Breaking Bad. Yeah. So I'm into that. And then I think I joined the rest. Have you done Beef? Have you watched Beef?
Well, we started Beef. We watched one episode, and then every night it was like, oh, we should probably watch another episode of Beef, and yeah, we just never got around to it. So,
I think the first episode's pretty poor.
I mean,
it strikes it up as this kind of like jocular kind of, yeah, like kind of road ragey kind of like anger management kind of comedy.
Yeah.
We finished it two nights ago, and like a 14-year-old, it's probably not quite the right show to watch with a 14-year-old. It was a bit spicy.
Right.
He now knows what dog it is, that's for sure.
oh no.
There are.
He's asked to learn at some point.
Yeah, probably not with your mum and dad sat next to you. Worst case doggy scenario, I'd say.
Oh god.
But
okay.
I found it really engrossing. I thought it was great.
It's getting incredible reviews. And it's a rare hit for Netflix. They haven't had a conversation starting show.
You know what, the last one they had was Squid Game, I would say. And,
And
culturally, like, this is going to sound like stupid middle-aged white English guy, but it feels so culturally different to anything I've watched before, because it is about Japanese and Asian characters. Maybe that's something in it. Squid Game again was Korean. It just felt different. And it felt that they were having conversations that were different to like normal westernized conversations. Even though it's obviously set in the States. I really, really enjoyed it.
I think it's very interesting that there is a success in challenging what we think the romantic leads of a show are, the leads of action films, like anything where it's just about broadening what is the sort of status quo. And Steven Yeun, who is the lead, is in like a future Marvel film. He's been in Nope, the Jordan Peele film last year.
It was great. It was the cowboy
actually,
fella, wasn't he?
Yeah, got an amazing body of work. And I love, he's getting magazine covers. He's getting kind of the sort of treatment you would get from like a young, like a Ryan Gosling or something. And I think
he was in one of the most traumatic scenes ever he was in The Walking Dead as Glenn. That was
of course,
breakout.
Yeah, long term.
That was his breakout role. And I don't think it's a spoiler to say, look, if you've not watched The Walking Dead by now, you're probably not going to. He dies in it in probably one of the most traumatic death scenes I have ever seen in my life. It was so bad, I stopped watching it.
Wow.
It was so
bleak.
So bleak. So horrific.
He's made a very, very impressive transition then from The Walking Dead, which was on for 10 seasons or longer.
Just been slogging away at it, I think.
And it's just, Let me tell you about a couple of things I started watching.
Yes.
So after seeing everybody talking about it on social media, we started Jury Duty, which is on a streaming service called Freevee, which I'd never heard of until suddenly it was on my television. And for people who haven't, we've only watched two episodes, but for people who don't know, it's from the producers of The Office in the States, I think. And the concept is it's a mockumentary following a jury duty trial. Everyone in it is an actor except one guy.
It's crazy.
And he thinks it's real, and they're just filming it for this like groundbreaking, let's film a jury duty court case. And everyone in it is an actor, and everything kind of just goes wrong. Like people get injured, things smash. And the extra thing is that James Marsden, who was in X-Men and he was in the Sonic movies, and Westworld, he plays a fictionalized version of himself. So in the first episode, I think the guy's called Roland or Ronald or something. He like doesn't recognize James Marsden, like genuinely doesn't know. And so James Marsden has to kind of like just deal with it. But he's like, I was in Sonic, and he's like, so were you voicing Sonic? And he's like, no, I'm like Sonic's friend in it. And it's just excruciating. But it's I've never seen anything
great. I mean, it's one of those ideas that I guarantee that TV commissioners around the world will go, oh my fucking hell.
Right. People
just
going,
so simple.
It's so simple. And yet it is just so clever. And it feels like a genuine new format. We've seen the mockumentary, but we've never seen it. I mean, it's sort of like, it's taking a leaf out of the Trigger Happy TV.
It's a bit of it's a bit of an Anton Deck gotcha.
But
see Ryland doing it.
It's got legs. And I'm really enjoying that. The other show that we started at the weekend is Drops of God, which is on Apple TV Plus.
Oh.
And it is, like, if I'm going to read you, like, I'm going to sell you the idea.
Okay.
Drops it is the most me thing that has ever been conceived. Okay, so it's based on a Japanese manga.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
It's about a man who owns the largest collection of rare wines in the world.
Right.
It's worth $150 million. He dies. Ooh. And he decides, in order to decide who inherits his fortune, either his estranged daughter or his protege, who is a Japanese sommelier, they have to do a sommelier wine tasting competition and taste all of these really rare wines in order to inherit his fortune.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's what a great
idea.
His
daughter, who is estranged from him and is played by a French actress.
Yeah.
Also, we don't know why yet, but through some kind of trauma, she can't drink alcohol without being incredibly ill. So she's having to train like a sort of Rocky Balboa, but with, you know, a fruity red.
To train
having to learn
drink.
How to taste wine again. And her rival is this like slick suit, beautiful Japanese man who is like the rock star of the wine world. It is a fucking incredible concept.
Amazing. That sounds
and
great.
Yeah, it's just come out, but I think it's all on Apple TV Plus.
Nice. Okay.
And yeah, it's drama. It's kind of like the Queen's Gambit, but for wine. You know.
Oh, nice.
It's got this delicious kind of like beautiful locations. It's about tapping into the senses, and it uses really clever uses of like color exploding when they try alcohol, like try the different flavors. It's really, really interesting. So
this is gonna be quite triggering to me, Chris Mandel.
Oh, that's a good question. Well, you might relate to the woman who doesn't like drinking.
Fine.
But also
I very much like drinking, that's the problem.
But the other thing is they do drink, you know, they swill it around and they spit it out. So
right,
you know.
Fine, doesn't count. Fine. Yeah.
So that's what I've been watching.
Interesting. Okay. I'm going to a brief wave of flag for Citadel. So
yeah, did you start it?
Sorry, I've started Citadel, which is Prime Video. I think actually Jury Duty is available on Prime Video as well.
Interesting.
Maybe.
Okay.
Look, it ain't going to win any. It's not going to win many Emmys.
Yeah.
But it's fucking daft and stupid.
Is it fun?
It's just stupid and fun. I really liked it. It's like Stanley Tucci as like Q/M, Richard Madden as and Priyanka Chopra Jonas are these kind of like spies. It's like Bourne Identity mixed with The Matrix mixed with
because they like lose their memory, right?
They do. But luckily their memories are saved in a syringe. But it's that should tell you everything you need to know about it.
Yeah.
The whole opening sequence is set on like a bullet train style.
I saw that a lot in the trailers. That looks beautiful.
Look, it's really exciting. I think they spent something like $300 million.
Yeah, so like just to put that into context, it cost more than Avatar 2.
Yeah, they might not recoup
that. And it's 6 40-minute episodes.
Yeah, okay. But apart from that, stop dwelling on that. It's not about the money.
No, but it's astonishing.
I would say that if you want to watch something dumb and that is just a bit stupid,
I think,
that's worth a shot because it will not tax your brain.
I think also for people who, you know, trying to put this into context, when you get a show that is a neat 40 minutes for 6 episodes and it costs $300 million, it almost definitely started out as a movie. You would not get the budget for this otherwise. And so what I think has happened, because there was extensive reshoots, they changed, there's like 5 screenwriters attached to it.
Right, okay.
At some point they went, do you know what, if we cut that up and we lose 3 main characters that don't contribute to the plot, I think we've actually got a tight 3-hour, like a TV show. So it's fascinating. I will check it out. I think that's really fascinating.
Look, it's just as is Rabbit Hole, which I'm still...
Oh, what's that?
Rabbit Hole is the Kiefer Sutherland... Kiefer Sutherland series on Paramount Plus. It's directed by John Cassar, who did 24.
I loved 24. Did you know this?
Yeah, it is 24.
My favourite. That's the first show I was ever like obsessed with.
Oh, same. I remember. It was 24 was groundbreaking. It was the first ever box set. It was the first kind of like huge kind of conceptual drama. I remember having many conversations with Mrs. East, where just trying to, she was like, wait, so is this our, is this, first of all, she was like, what, is this happening now? And I was like, no, it's not live.
No.
But it's like, you know, that it's difficult to remember how, like, green we were to stuff like this when 24 came out.
But absolutely, anyway, absolutely.
I suspect this may have started off as a 24 sequel.
Yeah, yeah, I heard. Yeah, that makes so much sense. But and then they just they maybe didn't have the rights, or they
something,
couldn't,
or Fox wouldn't
it
do it, or whatever. So it's, to all intents and purposes, it is a new 24, but it's a bit better. It's a bit funnier, and it's just fucking Kiefer Sutherland being a spy and being on the run, and kind of like, it's got Charles Dance in it, which is relevant to our interests.
Love him.
As plays his dad.
Dance is Kiefer Sutherland's dad.
Yeah.
Do those ages line up? Yes.
They probably do, actually. But it's pretty appalling. It's pretty badly written.
Well, yeah.
But it's just like some of the dialogue in it is really, really shonky. But it's well worth it. Again, just, you've gone with something that's like opulent and intellectual and groundbreaking. I've gone for literally two things that you can watch whilst you're on Twitter.
Yeah, and those shows are, you know, those shows are very valid, because being, you know, everyone sort of has a couple of screens on the go now, so it's like shows that you can have on in the background.
Yeah,
this is why reality TV, this is why Married at First Sight, Real Housewives, stuff that you can kind of constantly be looking at is
you just kind
is
of look
really
up
helpful.
When someone screams or shouts,
yeah,
or there's an explosion. Yeah, there we go. Well, should we move on to something that definitely does not warrant a second screen whilst you're watching it, in case you dare to miss a line or a phrase or a glance or a camera zoom. Goodness me, season 4, episode 6 of Succession. I don't even know what this one was called, actually. What was it called?
I come on straight away, so I'm always like, I have no idea.
Let me have a look, see if it's up.
I think it's called
it's just called
Plus.
Living Plus.
Yeah,
Living Plus. Which weirdly was a TV channel in the UK.
And I kept thinking, I was like, this isn't, I've heard this brand. I know this brand.
Yeah, Living TV.
And there's
a
magazine that is still published called Living Etc.
Yes.
Like a British...
I suspect it's quite cannily chosen to be as bland and generic and as the kind of stock photography that they use to kind of like advertise.
Oh, they look like retirement home brochures. Okay, so let's set the table for this.
Here we go.
So the episode is set at like a company, an investor sort of presentation day.
Yeah. It's a bit like the One More Thing, you know, are they gonna release a new iPhone kind of thing. Yeah.
Exactly. And the main sort of thrust, Ken and Roman try souring everybody else on Lucas, and it doesn't really work, because I think everybody asks, like, is there a specific thing he said? And they're just sort of going, no, the vibes are just off.
Well, they try and gaslight everybody, don't they? They try and gaslight everybody.
And that just doesn't work. They're like,
can I just apologise? I certainly have been calling him Matheson for the past...
Yeah, me
too. And people have noticed, I'm sorry, it's Matson. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, in fact, first of all, there's that. And then I've got this mortifying... someone got in touch last week, one of our... listeners, to say, love Succession this season, really loving the sound of Succession, but Chris, you keep calling the far right political candidate, his name is Jared Mencken, and this lady said, Chris, you keep calling him Alan Mencken, who is the Walt Disney composer. I didn't even notice, because I know he's called Jared Mencken. And I responded to her saying that that made me laugh so much. You've made my day. Can I mention that on the podcast? So yes, okay. Lucas Matson.
Yeah.
Jared Mencken.
Yeah. Okay. So there's this investment day, and Kendall and Roman, unbeknownst to Shiv, have agreed that they are going to fuck the deal, that they fancy it for themselves, that this is like, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, they've got a taste for this and they think they can do it.
And I think a lot of it is like, it's kind of that, but it's also they didn't like the way that Lucas spoke to them. That confrontation on the mountain was as much about, oh, we're still answering, someone is still our daddy in this relationship. Yeah. Like we're not free. So we have to like sneak out. We need to trash the house and get out. And yeah. like, there's so, I thought so much since last week's episode, because I watched it again with Rob. Lucas is the antagonist now. He's the big bad. He's making yeah. all of them revert to either, you know, children. He's the sort of stepdad that's come in and they're sort of all rebelling against him. Shiv, mm-hmm. I think, is also trying to have some sort of sexual dynamic with him in order to try and win him over, which we'll get into later. So he's really freaked them all out. So they're trying to tank the deal purely on principle, because I don't think they want to live under anyone else's
thumb. I think they actually we can do this. This isn't tricky. What's difficult yeah. about this? And as Roman finds out, pretty tricky actually.
Yeah. I think they think that because he's throwing his weight around, they can throw their weight around, but he has built quite an impressive company.
Yeah.
And the thing that has come up several times in this week's episode is you don't inherit respect. Mm. You have to still earn it. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I still think principally they don't like the idea of someone else inheriting Logan's legacy that's not them.
Yeah, true.
Even if it makes them richer, they don't need money. So they sort of latch onto this idea that Logan was floating this sort of scheme called Living Plus, which is about bringing all the fun of the cruise ships to land. And I'm getting like sort of Center Parks for Old People vibes. Oh, but man, like permanent living facilities.
Yeah, I think they're just retirement homes where people have no way of avoiding a Waystar IP. That was the yeah. kind of like, that's the way that it was kind of sold, as this kind of like yeah. to an investor, it's a dream because, you know, I mean, it goes a bit crazy. It turns into Theranos. At one point, but it's in sense, it just sounded like a bit of a weird thing that sounded quite half baked, actually. Just to kind of, well, we'll build some houses in kind of wherever it was, Cleveland and all these different sites around America, fill them full of like rich aging people, and use them as to boost their numbers for Waystar IP.
Sounds like they've invented Florida, basically.
Exactly. It's just like a weird... And so that's kind of it, really, which sounds like the worst idea. I mean, I hate yeah. the idea of a cruise anyway.
Yeah. I think especially, though, when Kendall folds in the idea, like, you know, directors will swing by and show their movies. Like, we saw, like, you know, Bozo the Sleeping Robot last week, or whatever that film is called. Do you really think old people want to watch a 3-hour movie about a sleepy robot?
Or whatever that poster was, that other movie poster outside as they walked in, called Dodderkin and His Friends or something like that, wasn't it? Just like the silhouette of like some shit clown.
So yeah, they've got this ludicrous idea. And even on the video that we saw, so we opened the episode with Logan doing a footage of him with this presentation, and yeah, even quite he can't.
It was quite a shock to see him. Really, I was shocking. Not expecting him as the opening shot. I was like, "Oh my god! Oh wow!
And
what's happened?"
Even Logan whose idea it probably was, is struggling to muster up the enthusiasm. And when they try and needle him on making a change, he fucking flies off the handle at them.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Doesn't like having his bronzer on.
Because you maybe just like when you say the word enjoyment, just like mean it. Show some enjoyment.
You just mean it a bit more, please. So they decide that this, because Matheson. Matson. It's quite hard to say.
Yeah.
I'm going to just call him Lucas. When Lucas says he doesn't like the idea, they realise that if they really go in on this Living Plus, that's the way to kill the deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Irony, given they're talking about, eventually they talk about eternal life or adding 50 years onto people's lives.
But it was quite... It went from just sounding like, what the fuck is this, to by the end it was going, well, that's a great idea. And without really ever knowing, no one ever really said what it was. There was just, but that happens all the time. In San Francisco, yeah. shit like this gets billions and billions of dollars in funding all the time. If you don't know the Theranos story, go and fucking Google the Theranos story, because it's phenomenal. I was saying that to listeners, not you, Chris. But you're aware of the Theranos story, right?
Yeah, listen to the podcast about it.
Gotta go and check it out. But that's exactly what this is. It's like offering this holy grail of something.
Blood testing.
Yeah.
And
don't worry about the details, but we've got this box that will just do everything.
The super quick version is that Elizabeth Holmes, who used to dress in a black turtleneck and lower her voice to sound more like Steve Jobs, tried to disrupt the healthcare industry by inventing a blood test that you could do at home. The idea was that you'd be able to buy these machines like you'd buy a toaster, and you could detect chronic illness. You could detect all
like
kinds of things.
250 kind of like different things, wasn't it?
Yeah.
From early onset.
And
of cancer
the thing about it is the technology and the science was actually never possible.
Yeah.
But people bought in on the idea because she trained herself to think like Steve Jobs or like what Kendall does in this episode. If I just walk the line in the correct way, it will work. Yeah. And eventually they did start rolling out these tests. The data, the logistics all went to shit. And people were being told they were pregnant when they weren't. They were told they weren't pregnant when they were. Yeah. People were told they had cancer when they didn't. People were told they had HIV.
Yeah.
All these blood samples, all the readings just
all the things that you would imagine would go completely wrong.
The things
wrong.
You don't want in a blood test. And Elizabeth Holmes is still on trial at the moment. She's had two children since being arrested, and it is a drama.
It's an incredible story. Well, the thingy from Ozark played her in the Netflix drama, didn't they? Was it a Netflix drama or Disney Plus drama?
There was an Amanda Seyfried one
that's right, yeah.
And then there was another
one. Hang on a sec, her from Ozark, she played she was doing the other Russian kind of like fraudster, wasn't she? So it was
she
Amanda
did Anna Delvey, yeah,
that's
the Russian scammer. It's a head fuck. So we get this sort of idea in the episode that, not only is it a retirement home, but people are going to live longer. But they never really explain why or how. No. But the masterstroke is Kendall. And we see him go through all of his forms. We see him as cringy corporate Ken. We see him as, I got this custom flight jacket made because we're the co-pilots.
Yeah.
One episode after CE Bros was lauded as a terrible idea. And we also get, for the first 5 seconds, seven, maybe 10 seconds of his presentation, he just goes, big shoes, big shoes, big shoes. And you think, oh, he's going to do an L to the OG. This is going to be a disaster. And he kind of manages to make it work, doesn't he? He sells this idea because he taps into the fact that, would I like even a day more with my father? Yes. And he gets really upset. And people buy into that story. You go, oh my God. Logan, who is hovering behind him on a screen as well.
Yeah.
Which gave me like Mufasa from The Lion King, you know, where he like appears in the clouds.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Exactly.
It's like, he's watching me. He's watching down on me. The idea, it actually kind of works, doesn't it? And we see the deal, the share prices go up, and everyone's just quite excited.
It was just, I mean, there were so many moments in there where I just wanted to give Ken a cuddle. Where he saw the clouds for the first time, which he'd obviously seen in some amazing techno club in Berlin, which was obviously like, you know, you see them on Instagram where it's like the fiberglass kind of thing, lightning cloud kind of thing. That's what he had in his mind. And instead he just got like Top of the Pops from the 80s. His head just, you saw from, there's a shot from behind. You just saw his head just start to droop and hang down. And it was just like so sad.
Yeah.
And so then when he realized, that Roman was hanging him out to dry, again, his bottom lip came out a bit, and I was just like, oh, Kendall, don't. Come on, you got to keep it together, man.
Keep it together, buddy. The line that I loved, so he asks them to build this brick house that is one of the Living Plus homes, and he wants to walk out of it. And when they sort of can't turn his vision around, they don't realize it in the way he intended, he says, this isn't what I saw. This isn't what I meant. I saw it in Berlin. This isn't what I saw. He thinks of himself as quite creative, and he thinks of himself as that creative director. But all he's got to go off is, I saw this thing in Berlin, and you can't see what I'm seeing. Also, as it becomes relevant later when Lucas sends a tweet, didn't you think the clouds, it looked like a gas chamber? That's why I was like, oh, it's a bit it's a bit concentration.
What was that? What was it? So I'm not aware of Nazi literature. It's not my it's not going to be my mastermind subject. what was it that he said? It was
something I'm like, glad you mentioned this because I had to Google it. I had no this didn't
because everyone was like, yeah, of course I know what that is. I was like, I don't know. What
so he tweeted a caption which is Doderic Macht Frey. Might not be saying that right because I don't speak German. And it translates to work sets you free. And it was visible at the entrance of several Nazi camps, including Auschwitz.
Oh.
And he tweeted that with a picture of Doderic the dog, who is the Waystar theme park mascot, a picture of him at a concentration camp.
Oh, dear. Right.
And...
So, yeah, you're right. They did look pretty gas chambery, didn't they?
But I thought that was the point initially when that gas came down. I was like, oh, it looks quite Auschwitz-y. And it all felt so brutal and it all felt so unnecessary that in his all... Kendall, we don't even understand where Kendall saw this, like what the context was. It could have been an art exhibition. It could have been, you know... But the idea was that just because it was cool there and he can just... bring that over here, you know, it's a shareholder investor meet. It's not
Comic-Con, yeah, it's him just trying to bring his funky kind of like this is the new era kind of like thing, isn't it? It was just and having to, it's Hollywood, baby, don't say no. Here's a new rule. Nobody says no to Kendall. What do we think about my new cool rule? Say thanks, Kendall, for my new cool rule. They were both, I got the sense that both him and Roman don't really know what being a CEO entails. They don't really know. No. All they know is that it has power associated to it. And theoretically, they in their mind, they can just click their fingers and anything can happen. And we saw that with Kendall, with that bit where he was just like, right, I want a house. And they were like, oh, a physical, like... practical household. Let's just ask, poor props guy behind you.
And he said, "We're banning the word no."
Yeah, exactly.
Great idea, Ken. Thanks, Ken. Like he's literally hand up their rectum, out through the mouth.
Yeah.
Yes, please, thank you, like a puppet.
Yeah. And so that's him. So he's doing it in his way, and then we see Roman, who is clearly. In the midst of a nervous breakdown, completely. Mm. You know, we saw that from the very final seconds of the.
Oh my God! Yeah,
very final seconds. He's just, you know, he clearly has not pre-grieved as much as he thought he had, but cannot do business. He's just not a businessman. He's just far too emotional, far too kind of like has no desire or even concept of toing and froing and understanding the nuances that his dad had, you know, the example with Joy, with the film, the head of the film studio, whereby, and with Jerry, whereby his dad may well have sacked Joy, but he would have known what the consequences of that were to be. And I found that really interesting. They just don't get the nuances.
They don't.
Of running a huge corporation. They think it's just saying no and saying yes and saying do it. And actually, you do have to take into consideration, as much as you would fucking hate it, what the head of the studio is saying about Mencken and about the impact.
Actors don't want to work on these films.
Yeah, because you're promoting, to all intents and purposes, Trump. And, you know... They always say it's not about the Murdochs. This is exactly the Murdochs. This is 20th Century Fox being sold to Disney and Fox News being stripped out of that deal and blah, 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 blah. Specifically because of that. We only saw, like, last week, Tucker Carlson, you know, all of that, the fallout from that. It's real. Yeah. It's happening.
It's all connected. It's all connected. Yeah. And it's harder and harder to untangle a lot of these cables. Everything is... When you have these mega corporations, everything is in... one big meshy sort of knot. But I think with Roman, I just was really struck by, he said to Joy, look, I'm giving you loads of money to make better stuff. Why are you complaining? And she's like, sometimes it's not about money.
Yeah.
Some of the actors that might not want to appear in Sleepy Robot 3 or whatever, they have money. This is the thing that Ken said last week. We're already rich. Yeah. So it becomes about something that you can't buy, which are principles or values. Yeah. And I think what I noticed watching this, because you're right to your comment just there that like Ken and Roman are both kind of incapable of doing their dad's job. I don't know if he ever, if Logan actually ever made them come into these meetings to see him operate. The only thing they saw, Logan would tell someone to fuck off.
Yeah.
As a way to like up the stakes so that he didn't say anything rash, right? He would, he was a bit mean, but he was never combusting all over the place, really. He would make these decisions like firing Jerry when the dust settled or when it wasn't in these kind of emotional crescendos. And I think what I noticed with Roman is as soon as his feelings start feeling, he's like, right, I'm going to fire Joy. Jerry suddenly tells him what a stupid idea that is. And he goes, you're being insubordinate. You're gone.
Yeah.
And that's just not what Logan is about. And I think that's something that they haven't understood.
We will be back in 1 second after a word from our sponsors, which hopefully this week will include some personalized longevity programs.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
The Jerry scene I thought was incredible.
Oh.
Because she's starting to speak. She's suddenly like, okay, the bully, the monster's gone out from under the bed. Logan's gone.
Yeah. And
I don't, I'm not
and
scared.
And she's not on the kill list. So yeah. She's kind of like, I'm safer than you are at the moment when she's looking.
But she's also, she knows all the people in HR. She knows all the people in all parts of the business. She knows all the investors. She's like, really? First of all, she'll be fine. But also she's like, you think this is going to get easier the more people that you turn on?
Yeah.
And I thought it was amazing. I also thought she was very clever because I think there's a reading of that scene where she knew to bring up Logan to cause him to spin out, to make him make even shitter decisions. I think she's a bit like, there's a line I think that Shiv mentioned about them riding a unicycle where it's like jamming a stick in the spokes.
Yeah.
I think that was really what Jerry was doing, which is to say, she's like, I am going to push the fuck out of your buttons because you blowing up doesn't really affect me. And she said that
she was really cut up though when she did kind of like choke a little bit. She was like, I am good at my job.
Yeah, because
that really hurt her.
She called him a weak monarch.
Oh, this is such a great line.
It's scathing, but I wonder how long she's wanted to say that. She's been, you know, also just thought it was fascinating that it was easier to fire her now than at the wedding. Two or three episodes ago, Roman couldn't do it.
Yeah.
This time he was just, you know, as soon as she said, like, you're not as good at this as your dad.
That was it.
You know, that was it. Yeah. But I think she did it on purpose, definitely.
Yeah.
Shiv and Lucas are continuing their very fascinating dance.
I find it, I can't see, it seems to be less sexual this week. You know,
I thought that too.
It's kind of like the flirtation last week, and now it seems to be a bit more kind of like, you're my girl on the inside, well, you're my boy on the outside. But purely from what it means post deal, you know?
Yeah, I thought that. She seems actually, last week I thought, oh my God, she's going to get fucked over. Mm. She's really good at this. She's really good, actually. She's taken advantage of the fact that she's not in the inner circle with the company.
Yeah.
Because she's suddenly, like, insulated from any of the fuck-ups because they've not been bringing her in. And then with Mattison, it's... Why can't I say his name? With Lucas. I need, like, an air horn that goes off when I say it wrong. With Lucas, it actually seems less sexual, but she's in his ear. She's in his... Like, he literally came onto her... He boarded her plane.
Barefoot. That's how the rich live. Is that you can accidentally? It's like getting stuck in traffic next to someone on the way to work. It's like they coincidentally both their planes were opposite each other on the tarmac of a private airport, and he's just like, yeah, I'll just tootle out here. And it's like, never in a million years would anyone be allowed just to walk across the runway and get on a different plane.
I'd be like, oh, have I still got my passport with me?
Yeah, exactly.
But what I thought was fascinating is he came to her. And she told him to leave. She was like, oh, we've got to go now. And I thought that was a really rare... She seems in a really good way. She's parrying all sides of this.
Yeah.
Which makes me think it is going to really blow up in her face. But yeah, she kind of makes sense as the Mattson plant
in
the new company.
I completely agree.
In a way that Roman... Look at him. He's all over the place.
But he is valuable to her because, you know, there's that scene where... Mattson told her about how they fucking lost it.
Yes.
Like an hour before Ken and Rome tried to bullshit their way and say that he was the one. She was just like, hang on a sec, I've heard this story, but it certainly wasn't him that lost it. It was, and that was where she was just like, I know you. She spilled chocolate milk in the Land Rover, Dad. Yeah. You know, which was like, she was just like, you fucking, you know, she just, they could not lie to her because she knew she had them. She's got them exactly where she fucking
She's, yeah. She's, so valuable because she understands her brothers better than anyone outside the family can. She just knows. And it's like last week she read through, she was like, she knew Ken leaked the stories about Lucas.
Yeah, 100%.
She knew, she just knows. And it's really fun to see that side of her because she has been a bit of a punching bag.
100%.
We found out that she's been scheduling crying. Now, given that she had a call, do we think that was a bullshit?
Yeah, that was my question. That was the weird bit. I don't think the pregnancy is going to be resolved in this season.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't think that we're going to find out. You know, there was a moment where, you know, she'd scheduled that call. She couldn't get out of it, which for her kind of indifference with a phone call for the first time from her gynecologist or her kind of doctor where she just couldn't wait to get off the phone. She now had, you know, she could not get out of this thing. Now, I don't believe that was set up for her to have a little cry over her dad in. No,
I think it was a call about...
It was a call about the pregnancy. So therefore, what was she crying about? Was she crying because there's a problem?
Mm.
Was she crying because she's pregnant and doesn't want to be? Because she feels like it's a hopeless situation that she has no control over, or something else. I couldn't work it out. And then
because the real time structure means it's only been like 2 days since the 12-week scan or whatever that was. So it's hard to see this progressing. My immediate response was she's lost the baby, but I think that's partly because when characters get pregnant on television, we actually have very limited vocabulary. Like we do very little with it. It's almost a trope.
Yeah.
It's always used quite flat, sort of, in terms of character development. And so I think the show is going to do something very different. And I think that having it never sort of come to term, as it were, and would be really interesting.
I'm not sure at that stage you would just, oh, by the way, you've just lost your baby. As horrible as this sounds, sorry, this might be triggering for some people. But, you know, you would have to go to a hospital.
Wouldn't have been from the fall 2 episodes ago.
No, I don't think so. Maybe. Yeah,
It's really hard to say. But it's effective because we find her...
I don't think it will get resolved. I'm not sure she's ever going to tell Tom.
I think that would be the best. I think that would be the most.
It's the most Succession-y thing to do. It's just part of life. It's just happening.
Yeah. I think that's a brilliant idea.
And it's up to us as a viewer to kind of like be on the inside with that knowledge because it's affecting the whole dynamic with Tom, which I thought found the most interesting part of this episode. Really was, what the fuck is going on there? I thought Tom played a blindo. Tom was the only one that really kind of spoke truth again this episode. That scene where they just kind of like had that shag after playing Bitey, which is a game. Have you ever played Bitey before?
I have never played Bitey, but what
I'm
couldn't
obsessed with Bitey.
Have you played Bitey? It's not real.
I'm gonna fucking play Bitey though. It's like the new thing though, right?
I feel like I wouldn't want to play Bitey with someone I liked.
Because you'd be too. Oh, see, so you're too nice.
I just find it a bit like. Yeah.
Surely,
but then to do
bite,
it with someone
you
hate.
Bite really hard and quickly, before they get chance to.
Well, as a child, let's go into Freud's corner over here. I was a very much a voracious biter as a child.
Wait.
Because I was the youngest, I was quite little, and, you know, people were always sort of knocking me around. So I started biting. Aww. Yeah. And my brother said to me, you know, if you start biting, people are going to think you're a dog, so you're just going to get put in a kennel. So I stopped.
That sounds like a fucking Logan Roy kind of thing.
But it's, yeah, so, and yeah.
Wow.
I just think it sounds just unpleasant.
I need to know the backstory of Bitey, though. I need to know where, is that something invented?
I know,
or
it just, it sounds like
that?
Something. But do you know what I thought was really interesting is the way that their arms went around. It's like how you drink out of your champagne flutes with someone, you know, where they sort of go around. But it's like the mean version. You're trying to take a chunk out of them.
I loved it.
I think Tom and Shiv, I mean, this episode was really interesting because even their flirting is sort of laced with cyanide. Like, it's so stressful. She's just such a, like, one of the boys. And I think even anything intimate, like, Tom and Shiv is the only relationship on the show. And yet there is more jabbing. There's more cynicism. There's more flicking barnacle ears and being mean. And yet it kind of works, doesn't it?
Well, it really works. And it's, I think Tom broke her heart when he betrayed her with Logan at the end of season three. And we see that a little bit here. And I think she's just trying to punish him for that. You know, Tom's quite open about the fact that he's destroyed and loves her. And, you know, he had that great moment of the sat on the bed where he was just like, that script about how he just loves money. And, you know, I love my watches, I love my career, I love my money. You were never going to let me in. I was caught in between you and your dad. And for a moment there, she's like genuinely baffled because she's like, I give it all up to eating a three-star. Would you give all this up to eating a three-star Italian restaurant? Which I thought was great.
To
all of us,
great.
I'm like, three-star Italian? Yeah. Like I do all the time. It's like, and she was just like, I'd give it all up for love, Tom. And then they just both like crack up.
It's amazing, isn't it? We've got glimpses of this from Tom before that he's certainly not grown up poor, but he's not born into money, and he's attained a certain level. But this is like getting in with the Roys is like something else. But they're both in it for the status. They get high off that supply, and they're not really getting the same from each other. But each of them are, you know, for her, it was a good way to keep in with the family in a way because she wouldn't work for her father. And for him, it's been the social standing. I mean, he can get mocked all he likes, but like he's in the room when it happens, you know, with a lot of these conversations.
No, he is. He's there. And people seek his counsel.
And it was a really illuminating look at their relationship. Now, there's one thing that Tom mentions, which has come up a couple of times. And it's about how he was there. He met Shiv after her incident in Washington.
Yeah, was that?
This has come up a couple of times, and I don't think we've had it addressed.
Was that?
It sounds
just,
like she
affair with that fella, or was that like?
No, I think it's. She said, "Oh, you were the guy after Washington for me. Like I was fine,
right?"
But there is implications that something
horrible happened.
something dreadful that kind of broke her. And that's possibly why she went off to do her own thing. Or maybe why she was out there doing her own thing. I sort of wondered if there is something... She's not the only one in the family that's an addict. And that there might be something like to do with that. Or it may be that she actually caused something horrific to happen. But I there has been one or two mentions now of Washington and this
good sort of
origin story. I mean, I kind of wonder if she did, you know, she was involved in a similar thing to Kendall. But I really hope we find out, because it's so tantalizing that to understand how these people came together would be really, really good. But they, yeah, even in this episode, it's just their relationship is so transactional, but they're constantly, they're like an, you know, like an infinite, you know, like an infinite loop thing. Constantly coming back, going away, coming back.
The barnacle meat kind of thing from last episode to just this biting each other and just like really kind of, really trying to be nasty, just really nasty to each other. Just like, how does she describe it? Is this what you're going to do? Which one do you like? What does she call them? Hang on a second. I wrote it down. The vaginas of the cheerful women not tall enough to be models. Just so many great lines.
Something there. About also, I noticed, there's only been a couple of episodes in kind of the West Coast, like LA, California. They all seem quite out of place there.
Yeah.
The suits, the boardrooms, it all feels a little wonky. Well,
it's like a creative industry. It's a creative town rather than New York, which is a business town, isn't it?
Look at Roman trying to style out sitting on the back of a golf buggy. Like putting his feet up. I mean, that is not comfortable and you look like a tit. But it's like, hey, I'm on a movie lot. I'm cool. There's a real sense, I thought, of them all, even in that high rise, you know, like they're all sort of looking at the models. Shiv's going, which of these glamazons are you sort of eyeing up? Like, who are you looking for? You know,
pretending that she's not interested, but actually really interested, because they're everything that she isn't.
I always love it when they're sort of displaced slightly and sort of out amongst other people or different kinds of people.
What did you think to the pitch? Because we've not talked
Ken's
about
big speech.
Yeah, because he fucking knocked it out of the park. And I was signing up for Living Plus by the end of it. It was he genuinely gave a really good speech.
The comparison I thought immediately was the carousel pitch from Mad Men, where Don Draper's, you know, in season one, it's pivotal. It's like this iconic scene at the end of the first season where they're...
It's not Lucky Strike.
No, it's the carousel. And he basically does this pitch about, you're never going to get those memories back, but we can live through them again and again and again. It's a beautiful scene. Yeah. But the reason it works is that Don loses himself in the presentation and he is talking about his own life. You know, he had like a really difficult childhood and he left home and he adopted a different identity. And the mask slips and that's what people respond to. And they're like, oh my God, he's done it again. But actually... he wasn't selling anyone. He was just talking about memories and the fragility of life. And I thought a very similar thing with this, in that Ken thinks he's this like free flowing, like genius. He starts stumbling, but he pulls it out because he starts, you know, he's literally got his father like looking down on him.
Yeah.
And I think he's got this feeling of like, I've brought him back.
Yeah.
You know, cause there's a lot in this episode as well, especially with Greg. They're trying to edit the words that Logan says, which is very, very relevant with deepfakes and stuff, right? Like, they're all still trying to go, what would Logan say? What would he do? How can we, you know, manipulate the corpse and make it dance?
Just a hugely illegal thing to do as well. I mean, just so dodge.
And it's not real, you know? Yeah. Logan says, like, I'll take it from here, son. Or something to that effect. And it's obviously taken out of context, but it's like if you thread all these limbs onto a dead body, it's not a real person. You know, just because you can make it look real, that doesn't mean it's real. And yet it's enough for Ken.
Yeah.
his father's AI generated approval.
He believed it, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's it. I also thought this is something, the flight jackets, and there was quite a lot of references to like shooting for the moon.
With a hockey stick, yeah.
There's something about this that does feel very like Apollo 13 or like that. Yeah. This ambitious, you know, Logan's gone and like there's a sense that everything's in chaos and they're like, look, we just have to shoot and we might make it. And I thought by the end, with Ken wading into the ocean and sort of being rebirthed, it was really moving. This like, we've got to aim for the moon. He really feels like he's launching a rocket into space.
Yeah.
And he's like, it might crash and blow up and that will die, but at least we have to try. I thought it was really beautiful, that presentation. It was really good. The Greek chorus of everyone backstage kind of judging
Well, let's talk about Carl for a minute, shall we? Because like Carl kind of like, he went in swinging and, you know, Carl did his whole, I've been a CFO for big corporations for a couple of decades now. I know a thing or two about a thing or two. Mm. And for a minute, you kind of think the guy just wants Kendall to do good. And then he's just like, no, it's the Greek island. This is all he's caring about. It's the fucking Greek island. Because by the end of it, it was, you saw him in the background clapping. It was just like the king, you know,
yeah.
Just that whole thing. It's just like, yeah, you're as bad as the rest of them. You're not thinking of your, Logan's legacy.
I loved that those guys are punching bags. We saw Jerry really bite back and he just goes, listen to me, son.
Yeah.
You've got my cock in your hand, but I've got yours and I will squeal. Like, and I think because like what he was sort of implying was like, I'm going to get you to explain all these numbers that I made up. And he's like, you are not making me look like a fool. And I've never seen Carl so hot-headed.
Yeah.
And it just, there's this sense that with Logan gone, there's this power vacuum and everyone is kind of like,
everyone fancies
screaming instead of talking at a normal volume. But he smashed it. But as you said, he's such a hypocrite because the thing he told Ken not to do worked. Yeah. And he's the one going, oh, that was great. You've saved the day yet again.
But, you know, on the face of it, though, we've seen, you can fully understand Kendall's hard-on for the job now. Because two things have happened. You know, the Mattson deal, where they got the 192, albeit because they almost just in spite of themselves.
Yeah.
And then this, where he's just like, he's just sold a river of dreams that don't mean anything to anyone. And people have just lapped it up because he did it with a bit of conviction.
Doesn't matter that it's bullshit. The market's response dictates their response.
It was just great. And the circuit, you know, they do love a bit of a circular kind of, a revisit, you know, Kendall in the ocean at the end as well.
Mm. So they've used water.
How many
so
times
much
have we seen water with Kendall now? I mean, it's every season there's been a water moment, hasn't there?
Oh, that's a good point. So season one, obviously the car crash at night, coming out in the dark, quite satanic.
Season two, he was in the bath at the beginning,
in the health spa. And it's very serene, but it's straight lines. It's very locked in. It's very small. It was a very, very small thing.
Yeah.
Season three, we have the pool.
Yeah, where we for a brief second we thought he'd drowned,
maybe died. Yeah. And then this season we get the ocean. Now, two things I would say is season two and three, tiny enclosed spaces, and it's almost like Kendall in captivity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you see in the dolphins at SeaWorld, and they haven't really got much room to swim.
Yeah,
he's free. He chose to go in this time. We saw him take his shirt off, throw himself into the wave, and we saw him emerge. And it was this real rebirth, but also...
Oh, it's a baptism, wasn't it?
He's a free-range Kendall now. He can he can swim and he can backflip all he wants.
Yeah.
Was that
his own personal beach, do we think? Do we think that was like a Roy beach? Do you think they have their own beach?
And maybe they've got a resort that has a sort of cove, maybe.
Must do.
But it was alone, and I thought that was... I couldn't tell what time it was, but it was... Yeah, really satisfying for him. I thought there was two... It also made me think of... There's a very similar shot scene in Moonlight when Chiron, when he's a kid, Mahershala Ali's character is teaching him to swim.
Yes.
And he pulls him up. He kind of pulls him through the water. And it's It's just, you know, Kendall's always had stuff.
Very, you know, classic religious symbology, symbolism, but it was really powerful because he just looked, Kendall just kind of looked at peace, you know, kind of like, he looked like he'd kind of like, yeah, just looked quite relaxed. And then he had the juxtaposition of Roman, who was anything but, who was just coiled spring.
Well, I think with Ken, it's the first time he's understood Roman's, I think with Ken, it's the first time he's understood Logan's idea of, I have a feeling. And I think in that moment on stage, you know, it was adrenaline and grief, but he kind of summoned an instinct about how to sell this.
Yeah.
The tears in his eyes were real. I mean, they weren't for the investors, but they were for the investors, and it worked.
Yeah.
But he talked last episode about, like, tightrope groping on a razor blade, and Roman was like, why are you excited about that? Like, why is that? That should not fill you with excitement. And I read something in the last week that, I think it was Kieran Culkin saying that because Ken has a history of addiction, the chance of it going wrong and the chance of it getting right is so...
Yeah,
that's what he does get off on. And I thought that this week, yes, it's got the potential to blow up, but it's also got the potential to unleash the most...
Yeah.
Dopamine you've ever experienced, and it worked. And it's a thrill to see him win because he hasn't had that for a while.
Yeah, I kind of felt I was rooting for him by the end. You know, I kind of been. It was good. Can we just talk briefly about Greg? Because
Greg watch, yeah.
What are we feeling? Are we still thinking that there's something up his sleeve? Do we still think? I mean, he's siding even more with Kendall now, and Kendall seems to be bringing him in. Greg is Kendall's Tom to Logan.
Yeah, Nick Braun said something on last week's Inside the Episode where he said it's the first time that Tom doesn't look like the most exciting proposition, and he might be seeing more use in going to Kendall. Even though he's being used as the, you know, do the dirt, do the story to the press, go and yell at the sound guy. Yeah, yeah. You know? He's kind of willing to do it. And I thought this episode with the sound guy, where he was asking him to make Logan say things that weren't true. I mean, Greg's not the most convincing dickhead, but he was going off at this guy. He was like, you do it because I'm telling you to do it.
Yeah.
And... I've never seen him punch down so much, but I think he's just proving to be more useful than people give him credit for.
Yeah, I do too. I think I was hoping to play a clip. I'm trying to sort out the tech here. It's kind of dope. Come on, dope robot. It's kind of dope.
My favorite line was when they were talking about the tech forward idea of these houses, and Greg says, you know, it's maybe a bit skeptical because he's like, you know, we've had houses for a while.
It's like selling a while, yeah, tech.
Relatively new thing.
Amazing.
But it's he's more confident, definitely.
Yeah, I think he's got a glint in his eye, and he's trying to, you know, he's trying to fill big shoes as well. Big shoes. And he's trying out. He's like a cub, use another Lion King analogy, like Simba kind of like just testing his roar out a little bit with the sound guy. Like, he's like, no, you do it. Which was great. You're going to just do it. Okay. And then a pause. And he was like, because otherwise I'll get in really big trouble, and I don't want to get in big trouble. So please, you know, so he's not quite got the gnashing of teeth right.
You're right. He has like a little, he's like, yes, sort of learning to roar. He's sort of not quite there, but the intention's there.
Ah, it's great.
Mattson, I think, bad episode for him. I think anytime you're tweeting about, you know, concentration camps.
Yeah, he's never gonna win. I think he's just genuinely trying to get Shiv to kind of like pull the fire alarm, as if like, why are you doing this? I'm just going to pull this apart. I hate real estate, blah, 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 blah. It's going to be...
But he did delete the tweet, which I think is a kind of moral victory for the Roys, for the kids.
For Shiv. Certainly kind of
did
gives...
she tell him to on the phone? Was she like, yeah, take
she
it
said,
down?
Yeah, she, well, she didn't say take it down. She said maybe retreat a bit or something like that.
He listens to her.
Yeah, so he does listen to her.
But I think also Ken, I mean, he didn't do the most, it wasn't the most clean rebuttal on stage. But so they're mixing the Q&A.
I thought that bit was great because he just showed honesty about it. It was just kind of like, I'm catching up. Was what I was. It's like, well, we know you're catching up because we've literally, you just stood there. There's no way of you seeing it. I thought he gave a really good, just a really good CEO style thing. I'm certainly not going to fave it. It was just like a great line that kind of like makes people... It just felt like a safe pair of hands, which is just like, and even he referenced the last time he was on stage was when he ruined the kind of like the annual conference.
Oh yeah, he did. Yeah, of course, when he was in disruptor mode.
And now I'm CEO. You know, is what it was, how he put it. But it was, you know, I thought, well, we didn't see any of Connor. We didn't see any Willa.
No,
that whole the funeral thing. I think maybe we'll see in a minute when we look at the trailer. So I guess that's looming large. I'm as blind to where this season's going to end as I was at the start of it, and that's what I like about it now. It could go in a million different ways.
You know,
we could end up with like a catastrophic funeral and some kind of huge human scene with Roman and what was some weird thing happening there. It could just be purely business where Mattson and Kendall are fighting tooth and nail over the deal. It could be about the three kids. I don't know where it's going to go. What are your feelings on it? What do you think?
I think the you know, I thought the election would have reared its head more prominently, and I think it's going to be the sort of backbone of the end of the show.
Okay.
I think Jared Mencken, not Alan, will get elected, and we have got this nightmare far right neo-Nazi in charge.
And people are blaming ATN?
Yeah, or I think that it happens and none of them care, and it's like, well, doesn't matter to them. I think
Roman said, you know, Mencken's IP to them as much as their robot movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know, I really don't know what the show... I get very wistful and I get very chin-strokey with this sort of thing, because I think when a show ends, this is when it tells you what it's about.
Yeah.
And I thought when we watched last season, I thought the show was sort of like nothing changes, and then they killed Logan. So like, it's really hard to know what the show is trying to do. But I thought this episode, because they were all in various ways quite shit at doing Logan's work, now he's gone, I do still believe that they're going to fuck everything up and everyone is going to be worse off because they don't know how to be his successor.
Yeah.
You know, they are, I mean, they made up all the figures for the potential of this business. I mean, that is just so...
I felt sorry for Pete, didn't you? Pete the bean counter.
Who are Pete? Yeah. I love kind of Pete.
Like, it was just kind of like, this is just fucking wild. Can you double it? Well, yeah. What?
So I think the election is just the big unanswered thing. We haven't even seen Jared Mencken this season, so...
Yeah.
He's got to be, it's got to be about that. I mean...
Do you think it's just going to be the venue for the thing, like the vote? It's going to be election night, the numbers are going to be coming in, are they going to call it? Do you not think it's just going to be like the situation the ending rather than the ending?
It would be really bold of them to not even have him on screen and for us to only hear about it in the background.
Yeah.
But then
I think... they are bold about stuff like this. Like I say, that's what I think is going to happen with the pregnancy.
I think it would be kind of amazing if during Logan's funeral... someone just goes, Jared Mencken just got elected. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is sign me up for one of those hermetically sealed living facilities if he gets in, because I want to just hang out with the director of the Sleepy Robot.
Oh.
I can't tell, and it's a constant thrill, like not knowing. I thought this was such a good episode.
It was great. It was like, felt like it did feel a bit Succession Greatest Hits, but I loved it for it. It felt like Succession of old, where it's just like the awkwardness, the bump squeaky bits.
What I like though is that it played the hits in that it kind of went as you expected, but Kendall's win felt like such an earned moment. It was like, I thought it was all going to go to shit, but it can't go to shit every week. So
no, it can't.
I thought it was really interesting. You're right, though.
Like, is Kendall a good guy or a bad guy?
I think he's a good person, yeah. I think he's the most... I think he's further along a process that Roman is in the toxic part of. He's better than Roman. I think he's kind of healing in a healthier way. I think he kind of had the distance from Logan that has meant that he's grieving in quite an effective way.
Right.
I just think this sort of episode was so good for him because he won something. Yeah. And he might lose next week, but it's kind of like that thing of if you aim for the stars and you miss, you still have an amazing view rather than sitting down on Earth wondering. It feels like he's, if he is about to fail or if he's bad, he's at least trying to be good. And I thought that he was, just quickly, that when him and Ken, when Kendall and Roman were talking about their independent, like, terrible behavior, like, Roman's like, so I fired Joy and then I had to kind of fire Jerry. Even Kendall was kind of like,
he's like, oh shit, whoa, yeah, great, this is it. This is what big boys do.
Rather than berate his brother, he was like, if we're in this together, then we fuck up together and we win together. And I thought there was something kind of tender about that. That could have split them, but blood is thicker than water currently. And that's quite, for them at least. So I think he's a good guy. Yeah. What do you think?
I do. I think I always try and work out who's supposed to be our focal point. And I suppose it always has been Kendall in some way. He's the one that we've kind of been through the worst of it with him, I think. Yeah. And whenever he's, and I don't think it's just purely a performance thing, but whenever Kendall is in a scene, he is the scene, you know, generally.
Yeah.
Which I think is important. Listen, should we go in and watch
episode
7? I love doing this. Neither of us have watched this, right?
Yeah.
So let's do it. Here we go.
Welcome, welcome. It's our first tailgate party without the big guy. So I'd like to ask you all for a moment of silence. VIP in the house.
What's he doing here?
Apparently, Dad invited him.
Can you stick close?
What if we run it reverse Viking?
Do I even want to know what that means?
Jackknife in there and slit their throat.
Bang, bang, bang.
Really nice party. Cool, cool family.
Oh, thanks, man. Tweet about it.
Yeah.
First reaction?
It seems like it's quite a small, again, like almost like a one room episode by the looks of it. Looks great. Was that an election thing?
What is a tailgate party?
I need to look at what a tailgate party is.
I thought that was when you go to football games and you just drink.
Tailgate party meaning it's... yeah, you're right. A tailgate party is a social event held around the tailgate of a vehicle.
Yeah, so if you go to American football games or whatever, everyone parks. They get there hours before and they eat
and just hang out
in the car park.
So, it's surrounding an event. So maybe it's the election.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Possibly. But my thought initially, though, was all of that looked like it took place in the course of 10 minutes. So I just think there's something else in that episode that we can't see on the trailer.
Okay, that's good. Did you also think it was Logan going to walk through the door just for a second?
A little bit. I thought maybe Jared Menken.
Okay.
I couldn't tell if it was a wake for Logan. We've had a wake for Logan, so I thought it must be some...
Welcome to the tailgate party. Interesting. So I don't know what a reverse Viking is, much like Frank.
Should we see if there's... he's the Viking, right?
So what's the...
Urban Dictionary says, the act of holding a person with long blonde braids upside down while they perform fellatio on your pork sword until the point of ejaculation.
Thank you very much, not Urban that. Dictionary. I don't... Well, let's hope maybe it could be.
Urban Dictionary being the first term when you search it is...
And then the rest of them just being sewing machine instruction videos. Okay.
I think it must be because he is the Viking, right? So they're going to try and buy him. I don't know. Buy him out, maybe? They're going to try and buy...
Maybe the huge valuation that Waystar got off the back of Living Plus.
Do you think they might try and... They might have there's a particular part of his empire that they're like, do you know what? We're going to try and buy that.
Maybe.
Okay, you can have ATN, but we want your... fitness tracker or whatever it is.
I think I've got a feeling it is going to be the election.
do you think?
Because maybe the timings don't work out. They said, oh, how did he get here? Dad invited him, apparently. So this is like a long-planned event.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Dad invited him. Yeah. Oh, do you know what we didn't talk about the very, very end with Roman.
The micro dick. Micro. So I think...
quickly.
I mean, judging... No, it works out because looking at that preview, he's still in a bad place, Roman is. He's not getting any better. He's getting worse. Tweet about it.
But I just thought, so did Lucas edit that footage so that Logan is saying his son has a small dick?
I thought it came from Kendall.
Oh, was it?
I thought the text was from Kendall.
Oh, was it? Okay.
I think it was like Kendall just kind of taking the piss. Let me just have a look, actually. Let me just put it up on the old big screen.
Because it's so weird. It's so... Roman has such a complicated makeup that hearing his dad admonish the size of his penis was sort of seeing him soothed in the back of that car.
Well, he just... sorry, excuse me. I'm just turning on the old television to see if I can work that out. I think he was just... It was just tragic. It was just like... Just the sound of his dad's voice saying his name, regardless of the kind of context of it, was just enough for him to kind of get all wistful. It was just really sad, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's masterful.
And I did feel really sorry for him. I do feel very sorry for him. But...
I just want to know more about the Roman thing. I think there's such a... something really messy sort of tied up in all of that, you know?
No, I agree. Right, here we go. Who sent in this? Here we go. I'll tidy all this up in the edit. Yeah, it's Kendall that sent it in.
Okay. So he's just doing it for... Because obviously Ken's probably riding high and he's just like, hey, I'm just going to like taunt my little brother. But actually, that's exactly what he wanted to hear.
Yeah. It just made him really sad.
It's so interesting. I mean, again, I know we've talked about this. It might not survive the edit, but just Ken finally gets the affirmation from his dad, but he's like decided the words that he's going to say.
He literally wrote his own epitaph.
For Roman, it's like he's insulting you, but like he never said that.
Yeah.
Whatever it's making you feel is artificial.
It's fake. Yeah, for both of
it's
you.
It's fake.
That's a really good point. A few good comments on YouTube from I think the last episode, maybe. From a while back, apologies that I've not been on top of these. Claire Mullins, thanks Claire, saying Sarah Snook was on one of the late night chat shows a few weeks ago, said there's a clue in the poster to something that happens this season, but you won't know until it happens. And she says, well, in one of the posters, there's a plane in the sky.
Oh, yeah.
Indicating Logan's death. But there's also a version of the poster where all the people standing around Logan are all looking at him apart from Greg. That's quite interesting.
Huh.
She thinks that Greg... That was a very shiv. Huh.
Huh. I know.
There was a scene in this episode where it was just her going, uh-huh. Huh.
Yeah, to... wasn't it to Lucas?
To Mattson. Yeah.
Huh. Exactly.
Huh. Uh-huh. No. Greg will become a very important character in the show. Maybe he'll need an assistant, and that may end up being Tom. Anyway,
oh,
can't
I'd
wait.
Love that.
That would be great. She also said there will be a funeral. Brian Cox turned up for the filming of it, so the paparazzi got pics of him going into the church to throw them off the scent.
Oh, wow. Love that's that. A good detail.
Love great. That. What else have we had about the old... Ronnie Mack, sorry, it's Ronnie telling us it's Mattson, not Matheson. We know.
Sorry, Ronnie.
Sorry. Claire Connolly, another Claire. I'm not quite sure, maybe you can remember what this was in reference to last episode. We've completely missed the point that the boys couldn't withdraw. It was up to the board to decide. So they intended to make Mattson withdraw, which is why Ken warned Roman not to say anything openly. So Mattson didn't lose. He just took Shiv's advice to bump the offer up to an amount that the board has to accept. And that was why the revised offer phone call was not to the boys, so that they couldn't tell lies to the board. Interesting.
Right, yeah, okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah, we sort of forgot. It was covered in the recap of this episode that, like, it was... Lucas was like, I'll go to the board. I'll go around you.
Yeah.
Like, that was kind of set up. Yeah, that's a good detail. Yeah.
Good point. Thank you very much, Claire. And also, Claire. We always think, oh, we're just going to do a quick half hour, and here we are again. No apologies.
What are you doing on the bank holiday?
What am I doing? Probably more, I guess it's garden stuff, isn't it? That's just what you do.
I did B&Q the barbecue yesterday.
How was B&Q? What did you get?
I got a bay tree for the balcony.
Nice.
Just so I can get some bay leaves when I'm cooking. But also, they're just, I don't know. Just
they're nice to look at. They're nice got evergreen
some,
leaves.
Yeah, got some tomato plants.
Nice.
Got some strawberries. Because it's too cold to grow them from seed, so I'm just buying some in. And I just did a good old sweep yesterday.
No one's got
and
then time to grow things from seeds. Any people that on Instagram have got time to grow things on seeds.
Not this year when there's no fucking sunshine. And then today we're going to go. I'm going off now for tennis. Me and Rob are going to do tennis.
Oh, that's a very succession-y kind of thing to do on a bank.
I know. Yeah. Well, we did it. We started doing it because in lockdown it was one of the first things that you could do outside was tennis. So we signed up, and it's like only £30 a year.
Oh wow.
So we were like, if we just go like 5 or 6 times, it pays for itself. So we've been doing, this is our third year, and this is the first one of the year.
Very good.
Very go and nice. Do some tennis, and then the park near my house does really good bacon sandwiches. So we'll go for a bit of tennis, a bit of bacon sandwich. Oh,
interesting. Any cooking? We must see it. There's got to be a bit of Mando cuisine on the horizon,
surely. What are we doing tonight? We're doing a pork and kimchi stew.
There we go.
What did you say?
I said it's going to be some kind of like noodly kind of thing.
Yeah.
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 He loves pork in a broth. He loves pork in a broth, Dragon Casters.
That would be my death row, some kind of porky broth. Sounds awful when I say it like
porky
that.
Porky broth.
Some sort of pork. Nice. Something comforting before I get electrocuted.
Yeah. Lovely stuff.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
I will. And we will get together maybe tomorrow morning or something to do our... Try and work out when we do our Game of Thrones. We're into the final 3
Thrones
weeks.
Thrones is going to be a complicated one this week with bank holiday.
Exactly.
I haven't watched it yet, so I might watch some today. We'll be in touch.
Okay, we'll be in touch. All right. Hold that space. Nice one, fella. Got to fuck off. No, we can't. We haven't got a... No, what are we going to...
It's too late.
Fine.
This is the Sound of Succession podcast with Jamie East and Chris Mandel. It's part of the Dragon Cast series where we talk about the best TV shows in the world. HBO, please don't sue us.
You know what to do, like and subscribe. Ah, fuck off.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.